Welcome to Lesson 17 in our study of the Book of Revelation as a part of the Prophecy Series. Today we're going to continue on in Chapter 9 of Revelation as we look at the trumpet judgments, and especially when we look at today's trumpet judgment with reference to what was said in verse 12 of Chapter 9 before. If you remember, in our last study we looked at the fifth trumpet. And at the end of that section, there is a warning given concerning the reality that the next two trumpets are even going to be more devastating. So today, we're going to focus in on Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21, the sixth trumpet. So we're going to look at what is considered the second woe that is to be experienced by humanity during that tribulational period. So again, we're going to take these verses and divide it up into several sections. So let's begin, first of all, with chapter 9, verses 13 through 14, where we see the command. And so what I want you to notice is as we look at the text, notice what it says in verse 13. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." All right, so let's take a look at these two verses. Pretty interesting things happening here. We see the golden altar before God. We see the sixth angel being told to release some other angels. And so let's take a look here. So first of all, notice with me verse 13, the voice. So what we see here is this. When the sixth trumpet is sounded, John hears a voice from the altar before God. So remember, we've already seen in the throne room of God that there is an altar that is before the Lord. And from that altar, we hear a voice. Now, what exactly does the voice say? Well, look with me at verse 14. We see the command to release. So what we see here now is that this voice is going to tell the sixth angel to do something. So here it is. The sixth angel is commanded to release four demons from imprisonment. Four demons from imprisonment. Now, you're saying, now, hold on a second, George. Didn't we also see already that there was the release of a great horde, of a demonic horde from the abyss? Is this the same thing? No. If you look at the text is going to tell you that these four demons or fallen angels are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now, I don't understand that. This is on a spiritual level. These are spiritual beings. But the angel is commanded to release these four demons. Now, that's going to bring us to the next section that we're going to look at now. So we're going to focus in on Revelation chapter 9, verses 15 through 19, where we see the four angels. We're going to be looking in particular now at what the text tells us about these four angels. So I want you to notice with me what verse 15 says. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000 times 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision, and those who rode them. They wore breastplates the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur. And the heads of the horses were like lions' heads. And the fire and smoke and sulfur came from their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind were killed by the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. For the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Some very interesting verses. What in the world is he talking about? Well, let's take a look. So if we look at the first part of verse 15, we see the timing of their release. The release of these four angels is minutely timed. Now, the text even tells you that it isn't just to the exact moment. This was pre-planned to the exact year, to the exact month, to the exact time of day, everything, down to the very moment the release of these angels would take place. So that tells you that what is going to happen has already been decided beforehand, and these angels, these demons, were placed ready to carry this out. That's how intricate and how great the awesomeness of our God is and how he brings his judgment. Well, that brings us to the second part of verse 15, where we see their purpose. What is the purpose of these four demons? Well, as we look at this, again, we're going to see it's nothing more than destruction. What? They are to destroy a third of the world's population. All right, so stop. We've already talked many times before about how the population of the world has already been decreased before by a third here and a third there because of the judgments that have come before. So of the remaining humans who are alive at this point in the tribulation, these four demons are to destroy a third of the world's population. This is what is amazing. Now, when we look at chapter 9, verses 16 through 19, we see the great army, a great army. What do we see here? Well, what I want you to notice is several things here. So first of all, when we look at verse 16, it talks about the size of the army. It tells you a number concerning that. And so John sees an army of 200 million mounted soldiers. Now, that is a fantastical number, because the fact is, if you were to look it up today, there is no military in our world that is this size. So I'm not sure about the numbering of this, or if it's symbolic, or if it is something demonic. I just need you to understand that what John is seeing is an army made up of 200 million mounted soldiers. So this army can be human or demonic, just so you understand that. We can go either way with this and say it's human or demonic. Now, verse 17 of chapter 9 is going to give us the description of the army. Tell us a little bit about what this army looks like and what is it about this army that is awesome. So here's what I want you to notice. Whether symbolically or literally, the text implies an awesome invading force. So whether it's just a symbol or whether it is a literal army that's going to be there in the future, it conveys through the description here in these verses that it is an awesome invading force. Now, when we get to verse 18 of chapter 9, we're going to see the destruction of a third of mankind. So here now, we're going to see where mankind is destroyed. Now remember, when we looked at the fifth trumpet, that demonic horde was not allowed to kill anyone, but to torment them for 5 months. Here, we see with these four demons, this army that they are a part of, that they release, that's going to destroy a third of mankind. So this army brings a plague that destroys a third of mankind. It's just going to be purely devastating. So then that brings us now to chapter 9, verse 19, the power of the army. So this scripture conveys to us what kind of power this army had. So here's what I want you to see. This army has enormous power to bring destruction and death on a third of the humans who are left. Now, that's going to bring us to the final section that we're going to look at here, which is in chapter 9, verses 20 to 21, the lack of repentance. So I want you to notice with me as we look at verse 20, what the text says. The rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, nor gave up worshiping demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which cannot see or hear or walk, nor did they repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Wow, what a section, even in spite of all of this horror and all of this death and all of this destruction. Look at what you're going to see here. First of all, when we look at the first part of verse 20, the refusal to repent. There is a flat-out refusal to repent when God is bringing this judgment. So in spite of the judgments, men still refuse to repent and turn to God. So even though this is happening and this much destruction is taking place and a third of the population dies, men still refuse to repent and turn to God. Now, when we look at the second part of verse 20 through verse 21, we're going to see the areas of repentance. What exactly should they be repenting of that they're refusing to? Well, the text tells us. So first of all, when we look at the second part of verse 20, we see that the area is idolatry. So they refuse to repent and turn from their worship of false idols. So the world is going to continue in its idolatry of worshiping other gods and mindless, meaningless things that they make with their hands. They're going to refuse to repent. The other thing they're going to notice now is when we get to verse 21 is they refuse to repent of their sin. Now, notice with me, it kind of lists some things that they're engaged in. They will refuse to repent and turn from their sins. And so several things are mentioned there, including murder. They are going to continue in their sins. They're not going to stop. The judgments are not going to bring in any way, any type of repentance that would draw them back to God. And that is the sixth trumpet. And next week, we'll continue on looking at the judgments that God is bringing. And as we're going to see, mankind is going to still continue to refuse to repent.